Matthew 24th chapter. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I believe that we, in the beginning of the days of tribulation, and we can take a look around us in the world and see trouble on every side. We sort of look at this nation and we're pretty comfortable. I don't think this nation as yet has begun to suffer that tribulation. I think the Lord has blessed us to this point. But I can see signs in this land of America. I read the paper and I see the things that are happening. Something struck my attention. It's just a sort of a sidelight. Over the past couple of years, that some crimes have decreased. But when I read, I see an increase in senseless crimes. You know, instead of somebody snatching an old lady's purse and running down the street, they stop and they may break her leg, or they may harm her in some other way. And I see an increase in this, and I see things coming that would make me believe and firmly convinced that we are beginning the days of tribulation. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. I'm going to read a couple of verses now, and possibly later on we'll get back to it. The third chapter, verses 9 through 11. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And that, brothers and sisters, is a question I ask myself, and I would hope that each of us would ask ourselves, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What kind of a person should I be? What kind of a person should each of us be when this great and terrible day approaches? As I was thinking on that, several words came to my mind, and I jotted them down, and for some I looked up scriptures, for some I looked up meanings. But I thought it might be well this morning to go through some of these, and some of them I probably have a few words to say about, and others maybe quite a bit, but we'll see how our time goes. First word that came to my mind was stable-minded. I'd like to read one scripture in 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter. The 58th verse, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. unwavering. Firm, unchangeable. Be steadfast in this gospel. And always abounding in the work of the Lord. And if you abound, you're plentiful. You're rich in something. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Another word that came to my mind as I was reading that, and I think it goes along with being stable-minded, is our attitude. And I'm like my brother last week. I would hope that possibly some of the things that I may bring forth this morning would not be offensive to anyone, because they're indeed not meant to be that way. But I would hope as they're brought forward that it would strengthen us, and that would cause us to have a greater desire and a greater determination to serve the Lord. And I'd like us to keep in mind also the scripture that we read at first, and the closeness. And I think if we really knew how close it was, that we possibly would tremble. But I'd like us to keep in mind the closeness of the day of the Lord. Our attitude towards our brothers and sisters, towards this gospel, I think our personal attitude and how we feel about this gospel of Jesus Christ. I think mostly what came to mind when I was thinking of attitude was mostly our attitude towards the importance of church attendance, the importance of fellowship with our brothers and our sisters. You know, occasionally, from time to time, we see those that we love that are absent. They may not think so, but when I see somebody that isn't here, I feel we're not complete. I feel an emptiness, and I feel sadness within me. From time to time, I've, a matter of conversation, I've spoken to those people and asked them, you know, if they had any problems or anything. And you know what answer I get a lot of times? I didn't really feel like it today. I didn't really have anything else to do, nothing that would take me away. I sat home. Sometimes I hear, well, I can worship God at home as well as I can here. I don't need to be in church. I can worship Him in my home. I can worship Him in the woods. And that is true. You can. The Scriptures command us to meet together oft. To speak of the Lord. To come and learn. And to be strengthened. Anyone that really thinks that they can worship the Lord as well away from a group, when you have every opportunity to attend, it feels wrong. We're not as strong if we don't attend. We haven't got the zeal, we haven't got fire, we haven't got enthusiasm as we should. It's up to me as a parent. To raise my children, and as was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I think with the thought in our mind of establishing Zion, I'm to raise my children properly. I'm to see, not only send them, but to make sure that I attend also to all the services. And it's very important for each of us to attend all the services. Be present when there's Sunday school or song service. Important for me to communicate with my children, to communicate, my husband or wife, as the case may be, to communicate with my brothers and my sisters. But our attitude is very important. And one thing I've noticed, that the very place that we should be when we're discouraged or perplexed is so often the place that we're not at. And that's within this body of people. We're to be a dedicated people. People dedicated to this gospel. And if something is dedicated, if you dedicate something, you set it apart for a specific work. You set that apart to be used. If we're dedicated people, we must set ourselves apart from the world and be ready and willing and able to be used. We just can't say, well, I'm going to be used to the Lord, and the Lord will use me when he sees fit, if I don't consciously remove myself from the world. Not to set ourselves over and above anyone else, but to remove ourselves from those elements of the world that would corrupt us. We're a light. We're the salt of the earth. If we don't separate ourselves, we must separate ourselves. We must be a dedicated people. We must be faithful. We must be loyal. Keep our promise to God. You know, another definition of faithful was worthy of trust. Are we worthy of the trust that the Lord has placed upon us? To handle this gospel, to spread it, to be good ambassadors for Him. Another meaning of faithful is to do our duty. We read in Ecclesiastes where the whole duty of man is to serve God. Along with being faithful, we must endure. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We have to endure our trials and our tribulations. We have to endure the crosses that we may have to carry. We have to be strong and faithful to the end. We must be strong. We must be a strong people. Strong in our service to God, strong in our faith and our belief. If you're strong, you have great power. Either in doing something or resisting something. And if we're strong in the faith, I believe we have great power in resisting evil. If we're strong in the faith, we have great power from the Lord. Just find me, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Again, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Strong morally, strong in our faith, being of a strong mind. By strong mind, I mean a mind that is firm in our belief, not easily persuaded to every wind of doctrine, but a mind that is strong, a mind that doesn't fear. We must be possessors of good works. I'm going to read a familiar scripture. It's been read several times, and each of us have read it several times in our own. James chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. It says, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" We need to do good, not only to our brothers and sisters within this gospel, but to every man. Mosiah chapter 3, it's from page 225. Read the 21st verse. "Therefore I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God, omnipotent, may seal you his, that ye may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all." For always abounding in good works, and the Lord will seal us his. The other thought that came to me, I debated whether to mention it, but the more I thought and prayed about it, the more I felt I should. Similar to my brother's sermon last week, for want of a better title, I put down good words. I suppose there's not much that one can say about words that hasn't already been said, but I feel impressed to once more bring it forth. James chapter 3. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set in fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Seems easier Seems easier to say something bad about somebody than it is to say something good sometimes. I don't completely understand why that is. Sometimes it seems easier to not to tear somebody down than it is to build them up. I've heard it mentioned that the people are afraid to open up to their brothers and sisters because they're afraid of what they may say about them. That shouldn't be within this body. We should not be afraid to go to our brothers and sisters and talk openly. Not be afraid that the next day we'll hear something that was said, or that somebody will turn it around. We are brothers and sisters. We are members of the same family. You know, we have differences of opinion. We have difference of belief sometimes. We have things that, well, things may bother me more than they bother somebody else. Or somebody else may have something that bothers them more than it does me. It's impossible in a great family to please everybody all the time. But let us not be afraid. Let us accept each other. And I've heard remarks said about people that would hurt that person very much if they had heard it. Be honest with you, remarks that were unnecessary, unkind, should never have been said. So let us think before we speak. Let us have charity one for another, and let us not be afraid to be brothers and sisters. Matthew chapter 6. Going to read one verse. 24th verse says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't serve God, the true and living God, and serve the God of this world. It's impossible. You must have a great love for this gospel. And if we have a great love for this gospel, we won't serve mammon. But if we have a love for mammon, if we have a love for the world, we can't serve in this gospel. We'll hate the one and despise the other. I think each of us love the gospel. I really do. Possibly we don't love it as we should. I can testify that I didn't for a while. I thought I did. I thought I had a great love for this gospel, and events transpired in my life that showed me that I didn't. That my love and my... But those things that were in my heart that were taking first place were not of the gospel. Individually, as they weren't real bad things. I'm not saying that, but they were things that took my mind and my heart away from this gospel. I love the gospel, but not the way I should. And sometimes we allow things in our life to cloud our picture, that we don't see clearly. still in the sixth chapter of Matthew. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How true that is. If our treasures are here upon earth, that's where our hearts will be. If our treasures in heaven, indeed, our hearts will be there. Moroni chapter 6 and page 762. Verse 5, and their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. Is not that why we're here? For the welfare of our souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. I wrote this scripture by the love of the gospel. For if we love this gospel, we will meet together oft. We see by these scriptures how important it is to meet with our brothers and sisters. To fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. To partake of the bread and wine, remembering of our Lord Jesus. Another thought that came to my mind, and again, I didn't really know how to word it. I guess you'd call people that are in the middle of the road, or people that are fence sitters, people that are neither hot nor cold. Remind of scripture, I think it's in Revelations. It said, because we're neither hot nor cold, the Lord will spew us out of his mouth. Brothers and sisters, the day is far gone, and we can sit on the fence. The day is upon us. We're going to have to make up our minds who we're going to serve. Are we going to serve the Lord? Or are we going to be cast away? I suppose a common thought is that the Lord is delaying his coming. It's going to be a while. I have time. I have lots of time to get my life in order. Brothers and sisters, we don't have a lot of time to get our life in order. I would suppose that the 10 foolish virgins thought they had time to get their life in order. The call was made that the bridegroom was coming. They didn't have time. Those that were prepared went in onto the marriage feast, but those that weren't found a locked door. Brothers and sisters, we don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time. Second Corinthians. Starting at verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so also shall ye be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we were despised, even of life, despaired, even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Trust in the Lord. You know, you can read many scriptures, especially Paul's writings, of the trials and the tribulations that they went through. And I think that verse, that thought, was always uttermost in our brother Paul's mind, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. There was a great calm. Trust in the Lord's power. Third Nephi chapter 4. Starting at verse 44, page 628. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I came unto my own, and my own received me not, and the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God, and even so will I, as to as many as shall believe on my name, for behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled, and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth. Our Lord is all powerful. Trust in Him. Don't trust in ourselves or our own arm of flesh, but trust in Him. And that same God that is all-powerful, that same God is all-caring. That same God cares about you and me. First Peter chapter 5, starting at verse number 6, says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. One verse in the fourth chapter of James says, submitting yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I believe that promise. If we resist, that he'll flee from us, for he'll find no place within us. There's scripture I was going to read, but I changed my mind. Page 768. Again, this is a very familiar scripture, but it's something that we must have. We must have this. We cannot serve without this. We cannot be part of this great gospel, the spreading of this gospel, if we don't possess this. I don't think we can be members of God's kingdom without this. If a man be meek and lowly in heart and confessed by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he has nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. Charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endures forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Mentioned before that we'd go back and read from 2 Peter. I'd like to turn again to the third chapter of 2 Peter. I'm going to start the... I'll reread a couple verses that we read before, starting at the 10th verse. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein shall dwell righteousness. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. And a part of our hope. Moroni, chapter 7. Page 767, starting at the 45th verse. I guess hope is not something that we hear a lot of sermons about, but to my mind, it is something that sort of incorporated in all sermons. At the end of our probation, at the end of this life, at the end of our service to God is the hope, is the eternal life. That is our hope. That is why we're here. To gain eternal salvation. Again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith, there cannot be any hope. Final words of Moroni. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. And deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. That by his grace you may be perfect in Christ, and if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye, by the grace of God, are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. Grace of God gives us salvation. But as we learn in the scriptures, we must apply ourselves. Deny ourselves of all ungodliness. Know and obey the scriptures. Follow Christ. Endure to the end. There's nothing that we can do of ourselves that would make us worthy. If we strive for perfection, if we do our best, then that grace will save us. I suppose there's more I should say, but I think I'll leave it at that for now. It says, and now I bid you unto you all farewell. I soon go to the rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. I said before, I hope I did not offend anybody today. These few thoughts were impressed upon my mind that the time is short, that we need to be a strong and a dedicated people, that we need to serve God with all our hearts, not just half-heartedly. For those that do not serve will be cast away. I believe that. I feel that. Those that don't serve will be cast away. Let us look around and see where we can be of service, where we can become a stronger people, a dedicated people. To be stable-minded, dedicated, faithful, strong, possessors of good works. Let's be possessors of a good tongue, of a great love for this gospel. And let's not walk down the center of the road. Let's not sit on that fence anymore. Let us trust in God, trust in his power. Let's be aware of the adversary, of his workings in our life, in this world. And let us be aware that we can resist, that we can overcome. Paul says, go on to perfection. We must strive daily to improve our lot. We must be possessors of good works. If we love God, if we serve God, if we endure to the end, we indeed shall sit down in his kingdom, and there we will dwell through all eternity.